What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, covering the Chargers over the past 5 years, and now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys? Welcome back. We have a fun show to get into today. We're going to start with the news of basically a power ranking that has the Chargers 21st in the NFL by Yahoo Sports, but basically because of one player they deem to be the problem. So we'll start with that in the first segment. And in the second segment, we're going to be getting into the Pro Football Focus offensive line rankings and the fact that the Chargers came in even worse than they did at the end of the 2019 season. So somehow in the offseason, they got worse. We'll get into that in the second segment before wrapping the show up with three voicemails from Zach, Craig, and Tyler. We have one first-time caller and a bunch of good questions. We're going to talk about the three Chargers that would have the best chance in the NBA. We're going to talk about some guys that we really liked that turned out to be bust and vice versa. And then we'll also be talking about Justin Herbert looking jacked, as well as the Chargers' faith in their new offensive line coach, James Camp, and a lot of good voicemails on today's show. So you're going to want to stick around for that, but let's go ahead and get started. The Los Angeles Chargers have high hopes for their season, but one NFL analyst thinks there's one position that will cause them to not be a contender this season. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Yahoo Sports is previewing all 32 teams as they get ready for the NFL season, counting down the teams backwards. And this week, the Chargers came on the list at 21 overall in the league. And in an article by Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports explaining why the Chargers rank where they were, he basically had one single reason as to why the Chargers are not going to be contenders, and it was the fact that they have Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert at quarterback. I understand why some would be pessimistic about the Tyrod Taylor signing because of the last time we saw him in Cleveland, but this is continuing the trend that we've seen from many different power rankings and people trying to project the Chargers season, which is they could be really good, but they're being held back by Tyrod Taylor. And what he is asking in this article is, why didn't the Chargers go sign the likes of Cam Newton or Tom Brady or even Teddy Bridgewater? So, David, do you think that the Chargers deserve any blame for not trying to go after one of those guys with the rest of the roster that he says is win now?
I think you could obviously question whether or not the Chargers made the right decision by not going out and getting one of those quarterbacks. But he also mentioned that the Chargers made a lot of win now moves, and I would agree with that. They traded for Trey Turner. They franchise tagged Hunter Henry. They signed Chris Harris Jr. to a 2-year deal. They signed Linval Joseph to a 2-year deal. They signed Brian Bulaga, the right tackle from Green Bay, to a 3-year deal. So they made a lot of great moves and improved the offense and defense in both spots. They brought in a pass-rushing defensive tackle in Linval Joseph, a Pro Bowl cornerback in Chris Harris Jr. The Chargers made some great moves, but I think obviously hindsight is always 20/20, Daniel, and they're going to have to ask themselves, did they make the right decision by not going out and getting one of those big-name quarterbacks?
And I think the argument is there to be made that Cam Newton would obviously bring a higher upside, but I also don't think the Chargers would have been as highly praised if they would have signed Cam Newton as the Patriots are now that they got him on that contract. And now that you see what he went for, it's easy to be like, well, the Chargers should have done that. But there is just so much uncertainty about the health of Cam Newton. It's hard for me to blame them for not pursuing him more while still knowing that he does bring the bigger upside to the team. But I think one thing that this article is overlooking is that the Chargers have more than just one position that is a problem for them. The article says when it came to 21 of the starting positions on their football team, the Los Angeles Chargers went forth like contenders, with that one other starting spot between the offense and the defense being quarterback. But David, I think when you look at this roster, there's more than one position like quarterback that could be questioned.
Absolutely. I think from the outside looking in, it's the easy thing to say is it's just the quarterback. The Chargers are a super talented team. There's no other holes, but that couldn't be further from the truth. I think you don't know what Trey Pipkins is going to look like starting at left tackle. I know the coaching staff can't feel 100% comfortable with what they're going to get from Trey Pipkins at left tackle. I think when you look at the left guard position, there's been poor play from Dan Feeney for the last couple of years. They don't know who is going to come in and play that position or who's going to improve upon that. The Chargers had absolutely no production from the wide receiver 3 position. That's also a big question mark. And then you flip it over to the defensive side and you look at free safety, Rayshon Jenkins, and the missed tackles that he had, those things definitely need to get cleaned up, or they need to find somebody else who can play that position a little bit better. Also, I think if the Chargers are going to have success on the defensive side, they're definitely going to have to get more pass rush from the interior. Guys like Jerry Tillery in his second year are really going to have to step up and help Linval Joseph in a rotation. And of course, he can't feel great about Michael Davis on the outside. He's had his issues with turning his head around and tackling as well. So to say that it's just the quarterback position that is the only place that is plaguing this Chargers team, it could not be further from the truth. The Chargers also need to improve upon the turnover margin. They did not take the ball away enough last year, and they gave it away way too much on offense. They are banking on the fact that the Chargers are going to be able to take the ball away more, and that Tyrod Taylor, who is prolific for protecting the football, is going to continue to do that as the starter for the Chargers in 2020.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people like to look at all of the things that Tyrod Taylor doesn't do well and his lack of explosiveness and forget his rushing ability and his ability to not turn the ball over. He's not a flashy player, but I still don't think he gets enough credit. And I think when people look at this team and see Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback, they think that could be the biggest issue. And it might play out that way, but the Chargers definitely have some other warts that they have to get figured out as well, because you have to be a complete team, especially if you have average quarterback play, to try to be a contender. And right now the Chargers are banking on a lot of growth from some young players to really step up that we haven't seen in the past. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to talk about the Pro Football Focus ranking the offensive linemen and the Chargers coming in 30th place before wrapping the show up with some voicemails coming up right after this. All right, so one of the other articles that has come out this week was an article from Pro Football Focus grading the NFL's offensive lines going into the 2020 season. And a lot of Charger fans probably opened up this article expecting the Chargers' big offseason additions like Brian Bulaga and Trey Turner to pay dividends. But what ended up happening is the Chargers ended up being ranked 30th in the NFL. And I know Luke Chargers asked us about this on Twitter, and we were already, you know, planning on having this conversation tonight because it's so hard to believe that the Chargers could still be that bad with the additions that they made. So looking at what they had to say, basically the biggest reasons they had for ranking the Chargers so low is Brian Bulaga is still really good, but he gets injured a lot, even though he has only missed two games, I believe, in his last two seasons. They talked about how Trey Turner is only slightly better than what the Chargers had in Michael Schofield. And then they all talk about some things that I can't argue with, which is Dan Feeney has been really bad, and Trey Pipkins, we have no idea what they're going to get out of him. So, David, what were you thinking first when you saw the Chargers ranking 30th in the NFL with all of these additions on the offensive line?
I mean, honestly, the first thing I thought was, are you guys out of your mind? How is it possible that the Chargers were ranked 29th at the end of last year, and they go in, they get a much better right tackle, a very, very good run-blocking right guard, and they had great contributions from Scott Questenberry, which wasn't even mentioned in this, and they're ranked worse? That's incredible. It's incredulous. I just did not understand. Now, I know that everything's based off their PFF rankings, and that's why we always say you can use PFF numbers as a baseline, and yeah, they're right about some things, but they are not right about everything, and this is one I absolutely am in complete disagreement with.
Well, I think when you look at these grades, I mean, one of the things that stood out to me in this article is the fact that for some teams like the Bears, who got atrocious play out of their tackles last year, and I think had one decent lineman in Cody Whitehair on the interior, and they still ended up ranking almost 10 spots ahead of the Chargers, banking on the fact that the tackles should go back to playing better and all of those things, when they're holding, you know, Trey Turner's worst season over his head and saying that he's only slightly better than Michael Schofield. And for Michael Schofield, I think obviously when you look at that, Michael Schofield was the best offensive lineman for the Chargers last season, according to Pro Football Focus, and I would tend to agree with it because normally it's Russell Okung. Russell Okung had to miss most of the season, so it's hard to really give that to him. But the one thing that they're not considering is just how good that Trey Turner actually was. We have seen Trey Turner do it at this level, and I think when you're looking for production, you're hoping that Trey Turner can bounce back. You know, the Chargers wouldn't have made the trade if they thought that he couldn't bounce back, and I think there's multiple factors that will determine if that will happen or not. But at the same time, I mean, we saw Michael Schofield kind of max out his potential last year, and you're trying to get Trey Turner back to his potential, which was a dominant guard who is a dominant mauling run blocker. And I think that's the other thing that you don't really get context for in an article like this is the physicality, because that's one reason the Chargers went out and got Trey Turner, is because they wanted to be more physical on the offensive line, something they've clearly lacked at. Michael Schofield was not a physical player, and when you see the pancake blocks and stuff like that from Trey Turner, who's just a mean guy when he's blocking people, I mean, you understand why they made the move.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Michael Schofield on the field and you say that's a guy who gets his job done. He doesn't do anything flashy, but he doesn't hurt you. He just doesn't do anything incredible to help you. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and demolish guys in the running game. He's very good as a pass blocker, a very good pass blocking guard, which isn't a surprise because he's a former right tackle. He should be a good pass blocker, but he's just a guy who's going to grab his lunch pail, come to work, get his job done, and punch out. Trey Turner, on the other hand, is a guy that can absolutely move people in the running game, can smash them, flatten them, and open up large, gaping holes. We've seen that on Trey Turner's tape. We know that he's that type of player, and you have to feel good about his ability to bounce back, because at the end of the day, he's only 27 years old. He is still very young, and that is very young for an offensive lineman. Offensive linemen usually play into their mid to late 30s with success. There's plenty of examples that can support that. So I think you feel really good about Trey Turner's ability to bounce back because of his youth and because we know that the ability is in there. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler after all.
Right, and obviously Pro Bowl is a popularity contest, and I would also say that, you know, playing into your mid-30s isn't the norm, you know, or late-30s isn't the norm. You know, you see guys like Joe Thomas doing it, or even, you know, a guy like Andrew Whitworth, but 27 is not the age that anybody is saying, okay, that guy's done for. I mean, it's just not happening, and I think that with Trey Turner, you have a realistic chance to get him close to that level. He might not ever get back to what he was at his best, but to get above average right guard play out of him, which you haven't had necessarily, you know, outside of Michael Schofield for a long time. And Michael Schofield at best was average, even though he was better than the rest of the Chargers offensive line. But the one thing, I mean, I will agree with is just the fact that Dan Feeney has been truly awful, and you don't really know where you're going to get out of that.
Really, really bad.
You don't know. I mean, actually, you know what you're going to get if Dan Feeney is the left guard, and it's not going to be good. It's hard to really put faith in Forrest Lamp at this point, obviously, going into year four. It's crazy to say that this is year four of Forrest Lamp, and we still don't know what he is capable of. But he went in, you know, for the most part healthy, and to Dan Feeney, which isn't, you know, necessarily a good omen for him. And then the left tackle position with Trey Pipkins, obviously, you can't feel good about that. We saw him only in very limited action, and in that limited action, he was really bad. Were there things that you saw there that you're like, okay, that's a nice surprise? Absolutely. I mean, there were some things he did well. There were some things that he did well, too. But at the same... there were also some things that he did well. But at the same time, that was few and far between, and the things you saw that weren't good, it's hard to imagine that, given this offseason, are going to get corrected. And I think that's the scariest part about it, is just you don't know what he's going to look like when he shows up. You've heard that he's gotten into tremendous shape, which as a big guy, it takes a lot of discipline. But as far as his play goes, I can't make any arguments on his behalf that the Chargers made the right move by not bringing in a left tackle, David. So I think, obviously, when you look at that, it's two really big positions of need, and the Chargers didn't address it, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're the 30th best offensive line.
No, not at all. I think you look at the right side of the offensive line, and you feel pretty good about what you see over there. You see Brian Bulaga, who, when healthy, is one of the best right tackles in the league. I think you see a young right guard in Trey Turner, who has already shown to have incredible success in the NFL. Whoever's playing center, you don't know what you're going to get there. But, of course, when you look over to the left side of the offensive line, there's really not much more than question marks. They said they're going to have an open competition at the left guard position. We'll see who is going to step up. There's a lot of guys that they're going to try out at that position, guys like Trent Scott, possibly Scott Quessenberry. Obviously, Dan Feeney is going to get another opportunity. Forrest Lamp is going to be there, and also in the left tackle mix, guys like Storm Norton, we don't know what we have in that guy. Trey Pipkins, obviously, we've seen in just limited sample size, but like you mentioned, nothing has been particularly great. He's going to have to show a giant leap in year two in a shortened offseason that's not really conducive for growth to be able to make you feel good about what the Chargers are going to put out there on the offensive line. Now, with that being said, I still don't believe with you that there's any way that the Chargers are the 30th ranked offensive line in the league. Yes, they are bad. That's what they've shown us, but I think there is potential there for the ability for this Chargers offensive line to be much better than that.
And I think this is another part of it too, is I can see where the argument is coming from, because if they're the 29th best offensive line at the end of last season and they lose their left tackle, who when healthy was their best offensive line, they get a good right tackle and they get a good right guard coming off of one of his worst seasons to replace a guy who was probably their best offensive lineman last season. I understand why you could look at that and be like, well, how did they really get a lot better at those positions? I can understand that, but obviously I'm bullish on Trey Turner. I think being part of the Carolina Panthers over the last couple of years and just, you know, being in that situation definitely probably wore on him a little bit. And he was, you know, next to Matt Paradise last year, who I think had 20 more pressures against him than any other center. And we've talked about that, you know, as far as how good can you play if the guys next to you aren't very good and how much harder that can be. And I think that leads to the last point of this, is just how low they are on Mike Pouncey. And that's another thing that's hard for me to argue with, because I didn't think that Mike Pouncey played that great pre-neck injury. And I know some people, you know, thought that he did play well. I did not. Me and Pro Football Focus, I guess, are on the same wavelength as far as Mike Pouncey go, because I didn't think that he played very well. And they also mentioned that he hasn't graded above a 70 since the 2015 season in Miami, which, no matter what you think of Pro Football Focus, I mean, I think you can, and we can all admit that there has been some regression there. At the same time, I think you can get average play out of Mike Pouncey at center. I think, you know, throwing Scott Quessenberry into the mix at left guard, a guy that you've seen actually produce at this level at a different position, I think he has earned a chance to go after that left guard position if they're just going to give the center position to Mike Pouncey. So that's something I could see. And Mike Pouncey is coming off a very scary neck injury, so we don't know what we're going to get out of him. But there is a chance that this season the Chargers have an average left side, center to left side of the offensive line, and a really good right side of the offensive line. And I think that's something that would be better than what we've seen in a very long time from this team. But we do have one more segment to get into, because we have some voicemail callers. We're going to talk about three Chargers that could potentially make the NBA. We're also going to get into some players that we like that ended up being bust, as well as a jacked Justin Herbert, coming up right after this. All right, so first I just want to thank everyone who called in for the Locked On Chargers voicemail segment. We have superfan Zach called in. Thank you, Zach, for your voicemail, as we always really appreciate it. We're going to hear from Craig, who hasn't called in a long time. I think he has some good reasons for that, but definitely happy to hear Craig, and he brought it once again with his questions. And then we got a really good question from Tyler, a first-time caller from Utah. But let's start with Zach asking a question about the Chargers pass. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, guys. Zach from Florida here. Hope you guys are all having a great day. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this question. Who is a player that you had high hopes for that you were disappointed in that became a bust? And on the reverse, who is a player that you were excited for that exceeded expectations? So just want to get your thoughts and bolt up.
All right, David, I thought this was a very good question. So I want to ask you first, who is a guy that you really liked that ended up being a bust? And then tell me a guy that you really didn't like that turned out to be pretty good.
All right, so yeah, I think starting off with a guy that I really liked and was really high on and was really excited for was Jason Verrett, the cornerback out of TCU. When the Chargers drafted him really high in the first round, I was like, okay, you know, I saw some of his tape and I was really excited about what this guy can do. He was small, but he was tenacious. He could stick to a wide receiver like glue. And in that first year with the Chargers, he was lights out, man. He took away Antonio Brown. He guarded everyone's number one. And he shut them down. He was that good. But then after that, injury after injury after injury derailed a very promising career, and unfortunately we have to label him a bust at this point in time because that's all we've seen from him in the NFL. But as far as the other side of the token, as far as a guy who I had low expectations for, that I didn't really expect a lot from, which is probably more because the Chargers have had horrible success drafting offensive linemen in the middle rounds, guys like Chris Watt, Donovan Clark, Sam Tevy. Those are all guys that the Chargers drafted that did not really pan out well for them. But a guy they did, at least so far, hit a home run on is Scott Questenberry. I think last year when Mike Pouncey went down with the injury, you saw Scott Questenberry get thrown right into the fire and really do more than hold his own. I thought he actually excelled and shored up the middle of that offensive line and really helped the guys beside him take a little bit off their plate. I thought he was very athletic. I thought he was really strong at the point of attack. I just liked what I saw out of Scott Questenberry. I think so far so good. If he continues this play either at center or at left guard, I think you can say the Chargers did very well with this particular mid-round pick.
Yeah, I think if any mid-round pick plays, I mean, you're doing something right. If that guy can earn a starting position, obviously this time it was due to injury, you did that right. I love that Scott Questenberry pick. And I love the guy that you actually brought up to me because it was a guy I wasn't high on last year, and that was Drew Tranquil. After I saw him get on the field, after I, you know, was able to see a little bit more of him, I obviously ended up liking him a lot more. But going into it, I thought he was going to have a very hard time in the middle of an NFL defense trying to sort his way through giant offensive linemen as a guy who converted from a safety to a linebacker to be able to be formidable enough in the running game.
I just thought he was too small too, man. I just didn't expect him to be able to fight through blocks and be able to make tackles, but boy, did he prove us wrong.
Yeah, and obviously it's a very small sample size, but you just have to love how hard the guy works. The fact that he made his way from special teams, ends up blocking two punts, which is the first time in like forever for the Chargers to do it in the same season, let alone, you know, in a career as a Chargers special teams player, which was ridiculous, getting onto the field and then playing well once he got there. Obviously some rookie mistakes, but you liked what you saw. I was not high on Drew Tranquil originally. I just thought, like, you know, offensive linemen, there's a lot of middle-round linebackers that didn't work out for the Chargers. You look back at, you know, a guy like Joshua Perry and how he kind of flamed out, and even Jatavis Brown after a hot start kind of fizzled out a little bit. You were just hoping they would spend a little bit more and trying too hard to find a diamond in the rough. And then flipping it over to the other side of guys that I liked a lot that ended up being a bust, Jason Verrett's a good pick. Forrest Lamp is another guy who's had injuries, kind of derailed what we thought was going to be a great career. But I always go back to, you know, guys like Manti Te'o, who, you know, was one of the best linebackers in the country. And I was a linebacker, definitely liked Manti Te'o before. Maybe that Alabama game definitely brought some questions up. But a guy even like Vincent Brown, who played at San Diego State, saw up close, dominating at the collegiate level, and comes up and ends up being, you know, a bust for the Chargers as a third round pick. So I definitely think there's some guys that I was very high on that ended up being a bust, and that's only to name a couple of them. I mean, having followed the Chargers as long as I have. But let's get into the next question. This is Craig from Texas. Let's hear what he has to say after a long break.
Hey, fellas, it's Craig in Texas. You know, it's been a little bit since I've called in, but kind of with the nature of things right now, especially the climate in our country, in our world, with everything that's been going on, and me being a father to three Afro-American kids, one that's 18 and playing college ball going into the fall, hopefully, depending on how things go. You know, it's just been a really strange time. So been off the grid for a little bit, but happy to call back in. Got a couple things I want to touch on. Thinking about the O-line plan for the Chargers, maybe we haven't really considered this, but could it possibly be, or the reason why they haven't been, you know, big players in the O-line as far as draft picks are concerned? I mean, of course, they made the offseason moves to take care of the right side of the line. But the reason why it hasn't been a complete overhaul is because they're counting on, you know, Campen being an elite O-line coach to kind of come in and, you know, do the dirty work and grooming some of these guys like, you know, Storm Norton, Trey Pipkins, and, you know, some of the, you know, lesser, I guess, develop guys, and hoping that they come a full force moving forward into the future. That way we don't have to spend as much cash on the O-line, and hopefully a coach of Campen's caliber can develop that talent moving forward. I think maybe that's kind of the reason why you haven't seen as much of a splurge on the O-line. Maybe Telesco's doing his coupon thing again and, you know, hoping that the coach can develop that side of the ball and we can use those funds elsewhere with some of the bigger upcoming contracts. And also, man, can we talk about this picture of Herbert that surfaced, man? I mean, geez, I know he's not everybody's favorite. I mean, I've you know, been doing some more background on him and looking at some of, you know, what he can do, what he's put on tape. And, of course, he has the ability. Coaching is going to be huge. So hopefully he develops in that way. But, man, this picture of this dude and this workout that he has with a couple other guys, I didn't really see who else was in the picture. It really just kind of stood out because he was in the middle of it and he's freaking 6'6". He was pretty jacked. I will say, though, he might want to double up on leg day throughout the week. That was the only thing that looked to be a little bit lacking. But otherwise, man, the dude kind of was getting his Hercules on. I wonder if you guys have seen that picture and what you thought about it. But happy to be calling in again. I'll make sure that I don't stay a stranger as I have in the last few weeks again. But thanks as always, guys, and bold gang or don't bang.
All right, Craig. Well, first of all, I just want to shout you out and just tell you thank you for calling back into the show. I know with everything going on, there's obviously things that are much more important than football. But how cool was that, man, to have your son going to play college football? It doesn't get much better than that. I'm sure you haven't had many prouder moments as a father than, you know, watching your son turn into a college football player. I mean, I think that's a lot of dad's dream. So definitely a shout out to you on that point. Definitely a shout out to your son. I mean, tell him congratulations coming from the Locked On Chargers podcast name. But yes, I definitely understand there's much bigger things going on. Fighting for the rights of black people is much more important than football. So I definitely don't blame you at all. But let's get into your two good questions that you had. Bringing it strong once again. I think as far as the offensive line goes, that's something I wanted to get into the last segment, but I knew that you had this coming. And what kind of difference is James Campen going to make? Because we've seen him take third-round picks, mid-round picks, and turn them into good players. So, David, how much of the Chargers not addressing the offensive line do you think has to do with them bringing in a guy in James Campen that they believe can do a much better job than his predecessors?
I mean, I think it has to be a monumental part of it. It has to be a massive part of it. They have to truly believe that James Campen is going to come in here and overhaul and really teach and really use that background of taking guys that are not well-known offensive linemen and turning them into guys that can help you win a Super Bowl like he did for the Green Bay Packers. That's what the Chargers are banking on his ability to do with them. They know that there's a couple of players that haven't really developed well. They know that the Chargers are going to probably go to a different scheme as far as how they're going to run their offensive line. They're going to go to a more of a zone blocking scheme where they just have to move to a certain direction. And they expect James Campen to be able to teach that and develop these young offensive linemen into much better players than they have been so far.
And I think the age-old question with Chargers offensive line coaches has been, is it the Chargers coach's problem for not being able to develop these guys, or are the Chargers just not bringing in talented enough guys? So we've seen him do this before with guys who are not thought as highly of. I definitely think they're banking on that for sure. But obviously, going into it, you have to be cautious that you're banking too much on one guy being able to take players that we've seen not be good and turn them into good players. I definitely think James Campen was a great hire for them, but at the same time, I mean, there's a reason why he was available as well. I mean, coaching changes and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's hard to put all of your eggs in the James Campen basket, hoping he can work miracles in some situations. But getting into the last part of your question, the picture of Justin Herbert, I had to look for it. I had not seen it. And David sent me a picture of somebody's phone lock screen with Justin Herbert looking jacked in the background with a few other guys. And I'd have to agree, David, definitely some chicken legs.
Without a doubt. And unfortunately for Justin Herbert, it makes him look really bad because the guys who are standing on either side of him have absolute tree trunks for legs. It really does make Justin Herbert stand out in a not so good way. I think you look at the top frame and obviously he's very well built. He's in great shape. You can tell that he's done a good job of taking care of the top half of his body. But like Craig said, he might have skipped a couple of leg days out there and he might have to add a couple more when he gets into training camp so he doesn't get endlessly picked on for those very, very small drumstick legs that he has going on.
Yeah, and I mean, they were a problem for him in college by any means. I think we saw that with the athletic ability and, you know, breaking some arm tackles and things like that. And I think you're right as far as this is a guy who's going to have to get a lot of coaching. I think we've been adamant about that the entire process. But at the same time, he still looked a little slight to me. I mean, you want him to fill out that frame. Obviously, he's shredded, right? So I think now it's about bulking up a little bit, getting a little bit thicker, because as you can see in that picture, and I don't even know how to tell you guys to find this picture. If I can find it not as somebody's lock screen and an invasion of privacy, I'll put it out on Twitter tomorrow. But I definitely think he still needs to, he's still looking a little frail, still looking a little thin, even though he's definitely shredded. But we do have one more question. We're going a little long, so we'll have to be quick with it. But it was a really good question from Tyler, a first-time caller from Utah. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, guys. This is Tyler from Utah, first-time caller. I just had a little topic that I thought would be fun to discuss. I was wondering, in your opinion, if you were to take three Chargers players to pack shot in the NBA, who would it be? Like, taking into consideration, like, work ethic, size, strength, all that. Anyways, thanks, guys.
All right, David, great question. I know we filled out a Chargers starting five before, but if you're going to three Chargers who would be most likely to make the pros, who would you go with? Three Chargers most likely to have a shot at making the NBA, who would you go with?
So I think the first guy that I picked was really based off his athleticism, his jumping ability, and his big wingspan, and that is Mike Williams. Obviously, the guy can jump out of the building, and he's a physical big guy, so I think he'd have some success in the NBA. Also, go to Keenan Allen. He's just got the great footwork. He's silky smooth. Also, I've seen clips of him playing basketball. I know he's definitely got a shot. And then the last one is Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was a star basketball player back in high school, so I know he definitely has some moves and ability. I know that one's probably a little out of left field for some of you, but I'm definitely banking on those three guys to have some kind of success in the NBA.
Yeah, the Justin Herbert part of it, I definitely didn't think about him as being a basketball star, because I know that baseball was his other sports love. I know he was supposedly a pretty good baseball player as well, but I went with a slightly different one. I think we have one repeat, Keenan Allen. I mean, he talked about just the smoothness. You'd have to like his slashing ability and getting to the basket, and he does have a pretty good shot. And then I would go with Casey Hayward, just because of how many players have talked about how good Casey Hayward is at basketball. I think he'd be kind of like a Patrick Beverley type, a real pit bull trying to lock you down. He's a lockdown corner. He would be a defensive specialist. And the last guy I went with who was kind of off the wall was Derwin James, because the last guy I was just trying to think of, who's the most athletic guy? If you need an athletic wing defender, I don't think you're going to get much better than Derwin James. I would hate to have that guy harassing me on the basketball court. I think he'd have some blocks. I think with those hands, he'd have some steals as well. I think he could definitely make it as a defensive player in the NBA. I don't really think they could make the NBA. But if I had to pick Chargers, those would be the guys I would go with. Thank you.
Obviously, Antonio Gates, if he was still active. I mean, I think that one's an absolute gimme.
Right, and I think it's tempting to, you know, put Hunter Henry in there just because tight end basketball situation. Maybe Donald Parham, right? Maybe that's the guy we're missing. 6'8". Donald Parham is really who we should have been talking about all along. Well, next time the basketball segment comes around, we'll talk more about Donald Parham. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thanks to everybody who called in for the voicemail segment. If you guys want to get on the next show, the number is 323-524-7924. We're back with you guys on Friday. We're trying to work on some interviews to get as well. And next week will be another Ultimate Division crossover, and we'll be back to 5 days a week. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from, and rate and review. We'd really appreciate it. But we'll be back with you guys on Friday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.